Paddy Power shops are back open, and with them, the return of a massive racing offer. We're giving best odds guaranteed on singles and multiples. All UK and Irish racing, all shops, all day. Limited time only. Terms and conditions apply. Ask in shops for more details. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Hi there. Thanks very much for joining us for the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington, and joining me to look ahead to another bumper weekend TV doubleheader are David Jennings and Graham Rodway from the Racing Post, as well as Paddy Power's Frank Hickey. We've got classic action at the Curra. It's the Irish Oaks. And then Newbury and York take centre stage for both days. ITV4 covering loads and loads of races, so grab a pen and paper. The lads have been studying hard and hopefully they have got plenty of value bets for you. Okay, let's start with the 7:15. On Saturday evening at the Curra, it's the Irish Oaks, sponsored by Judmont. And we've actually found a race that Aidan O'Brien's not very good at. He's only won two of the last 11. He's well represented. There are eight runners. He has four of them. Frank, take us through a spin of Paddy Power's latest betting on the Irish Oaks.
Yeah, Ken Pepper and Ennis Diamond are both 2-1. Snow 9-2. Even so, 11-1. Liburnium 12-1. Now New York Girl are 14-1 bar.
David Jennings, lead on, my friend. Who's going to win this?
Bruce, I'm a massive fan of KM Pepper. She was my horse to follow for the flat season this year. And the vibes at the start of the year were very, very poor with KM Pepper. She'd been working bad. She looked terrible. But reports are very good of late. She went to the Curra for a breeze on Tuesday morning and they were absolutely thrilled with her. She was second to Magical on her comeback in the Pretty Polly. And that should leave her cherry ripe for this. I thought all year she would be better than Alpine Star. And if she is, she would want to be winning this. A pretty confident vote for KM Pepper from Ebrus.
Graham Rodway, who do you fancy?
It's an interesting race. KM Pepper sets the standard, obviously, but I thought that Even So might be the one to give her a bit of a race for Jura Lions. Seems to be progressing very well. Kept on nicely over a mile and a quarter last time out in Ace, and I think the step up in trip will suit Even So.
And Frank?
I'd be with DJ here and Kay and Pepper. I thought she was decent last year and was staying on the Filly's Mile at Newmarket when she was beaten. I thought there was loads of promise in her reappearance behind Magical. Getting beaten four and a bit lengths by her is no disgrace at all. Step up to mile and a half and definitely suit, and I think she'll take a bit of beating.
Excellent. Thank you very much, gents. Just to say, by the way, that, in case you hadn't heard, the Racing Post Members Club just got better this week. Our subscription team has launched the Ultimate Daily. It's an exclusive newsletter for Ultimate subscribers that covers all aspects of racing. Really been fascinating reading so far. And watch out this week for Tom Siegel's email, which will drop into your inbox on Saturday evening with two horses he's added to his tracker. Really great value. Yet another reason to subscribe. Visit racingpost.com to find out more. We're back in just a jiffy with the UK TV action.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18 plus, BeGambleAware.org.
Okay, let's get stuck into Saturday afternoon's 8 Race ITV programme from Newbury and York. Some really fascinating racing. Looking forward to hearing what the lads have to say. We'll start with Newbury's four races, the first of which is the 2:15. It's the Bet365 Rose Bowl Stakes. It's a listed race over 6 furlongs. Frank, what's the latest betting on this?
Yeah, Method is 10-11, Imperial Yellow 7-2, Kraken Power 6-1, along with the Mighty Gurkha 12-1, Bowman, and Fountain Cross 14-1 bar.
Graham Rodway, will you be putting your faith in Method or looking for a bigger value price?
No, I thought Method was a ridiculous price, really. I mean, very impressive first time out of Donny, but far, far too short. I quite like Bowman for Mark Johnston. Looks a typical Mark Johnston type who might go under the radar at quite a big price, but he's really improving. Comes here after two back-to-back wins and just looks the sort who could spring a surprise, Bowman.
8 runners, 12-1 Bowman, so potential each-way value there. Frank, who do you like?
Yeah, I thought I'd keep it simple. I thought the Fav, he's a sharp price, but I just thought he'd win. He was impressive in a good time on debut, won easy. Those and Memas, our horses are going well as well in his first season as a sire. Yeah, I just thought he'd win.
G-Rod can't have the favourite. Frank can. What's your view, David?
Oh, the favourite will win this, Bruce. Yeah, I don't think he's that bad of a price at all. As Frank said, a really smart time on debut at Doncaster. And he was quite keen as well. So I liked the way he kind of saw out his race, and it was effortless. Like, he won by 4.25 lengths. And Feb Rover, I'd say, is not too bad in second. Imperial Yellow is a nice horse. And the sixth horse from that maiden at Yarmouth, Harold Shand, won a decent enough looking maiden at Yarmouth the other day. The two of them were entered earlier on in the week, and I was praying one of them wouldn't run, because they're the only two who I think can win the race. They're both being declared. I like Imperial Yellow as a horse, but I think Method could just be a little bit special. So Method for me, Bruce.
250 is the British EBF Bet365 Premier Fillies Handicap. Frank, give us a show of betting and then your selection.
Tomorrow's Dream, 7-4, Hubor, 3-1, Tonex, 4-1, Graceful Magic, Abel Gray, 6-1, and Festive Star, 8-1. It's not a very common selection, but I do like Hubor. Thought she was impressive. She won a Newmarket tail last year off of Market 78. That race worked out tremendously well. Loads of winners in behind, separated place in the Group 3 afterwards. She went up £12 for that. I thought she ran okay at Linkfield in the rear appearance, shaping like she'd a step up for the run. She was okay. She was sixth in the Santrum. She's been dropped back a pound to 90 again. And I just think there's a handicap in her off that sort of mark.
Frank is going for Hubor. Who are you going for, David Jennings?
This is the third race we've tipped, and it's the third time I'm going to be agreeing with Frank Hickey, Bruce. Just tomorrow's Dream is a false favourite, really, because I thought that was a terrible race at Chepstow. This Hubor, like a repeat of that run in the Sandringham behind Onassis. Like, I know she finished sixth, but she was only beaten three in a bit length. And I would say a repeat of that might even be good enough. And to be honest, I think she's better than that. I think she'll come on the typical Mark Johnson, where the more she runs, the more she's going to improve. I thought she should have been close to favourite. I'd be disappointed if she doesn't mind.
Do you fancy Hubor as well, Graham?
No. So Sylvester D'Souza has got a really tough choice tomorrow. He's obviously the first jockey for King Power Racing. And they've got two really strong chances in the big race at York, in Pivoine and Good Birthday. But yet he's chosen not to go to York, and he's at Newbury instead. And I just think that might be a bit of a tip. I certainly wouldn't put you off multiplying up Sylvester D'Souza's rides at Newbury tomorrow. And this one is outside of the field with Paddy at the moment. I think Festive Star, the one he rides here, he's got a good record for Simon and Ed Crisford. They're absolutely flying, this Simon and Ed Crisford. They've had six winners from 17 runners in the last fortnight. Sylvester has only had eight rides for them since they sort of become a combination. Two of them have finished second, one third, one fourth. And I just think this Festive Star could be the first of a role for Sylvester D'Souza at Newbury.
Thank you, G. Rod. The 325 is the Bet365 Aphrodite Philly Stakes over a mile and four. It's competitive, Frank.
Yeah, it's a tricky race. Virgin Snow 4-1, La Lune 9-2, Charlene, Vivid Diamond, and Cabaletta 6-1, Hyanna 7-1, Macaway 8-1, and we're 9-1 bar.
Oh, DJ, we haven't done the weekend weather watch, have we? I mean, it's just going to be nice and warm everywhere and good ground, isn't it?
Yeah, probably the Curragh will just about hold up. It's given horrible showers here this evening on Friday night. I don't think there's enough to get into the ground, but in England, yous are getting gorgeous weather all weekend. It hasn't been quite as nice over here. But yeah, I'd say in England, you're safe enough with the ground reports at the moment. In Ireland, I'd imagine it could just get a little bit softer at the Curragh.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Who wins the 325?
I'm a big fan of Virgin Snow, who's obviously a daughter of the remarkable Snow Fairy and Glen Eagles. I looked at the race at Newcastle a couple of times where she was beaten last time in a Group 3. She was 5-4 favourite. She trained at 1.6 and running. And she was just still a bit of a baby. Nikazaki beat her. She travelled like a dream that day. And I just thought when the gun was put to her head, it was very much a case of, uh-oh, what am I supposed to do here? And I think that run will really man her up. I know that's probably the wrong phrase for a filly, but I think it'll make a woman out of her, Bruce. I think she's got loads of potential. She's already rated 98, and that was a small five-runner field. I think the 11 runners will allow Jason Watson to get a little bit more cover. I think she's good, and I think she'll win this.
G-Rod, who's your selection?
Do not have a strong view on this race at all. I thought it was very difficult. If I had to have a bet, I'd probably back Bella Vita.
Okay, no one has to have a bet at all. As we all know, always please bet safely and responsibly. Frank, do you fancy one?
Again, I agree, Graham. It's a very tricky race, very tricky. I didn't like Virgin Snow at all, Dave. We're not going to agree on this, and I thought it was an absolute rubbish race up in Newcastle.
Well, I got before. English King right anyway.
You did. Still
oh, don't start that again. Between your two.
It's
man.
Still absolutely hammered Morgul by a good length, didn't he?
Look, that wasn't my point. My point was that he wouldn't win the race.
I was the second best horse in the race, though, but look, we won't go into it. Times I say maybe not, but we'll see. I still think it's a nice race him at some stage. But yeah, Virgin Snow, that was a bad race. The favourite that day was Aloe Vera, was pulled out. I thought it became a messy enough race. That Nakazaki that won, I wouldn't really be rating her. If I was looking to have a bet, I'd probably fall down on Vivid Diamond from Mark Johnson, Franny Norton. Now, she was a little bit disappointing in this race in Newmarket over a mile and a half on fast ground the last day, but that race was running an absolute crawl. It wouldn't suit her at all. Turned into a sprint. Like this, a horse that won over a mile six and a half at Chester last year, and she was third in the Park Hill Stakes over the same trip at Doncaster. So a sprint wouldn't have suited her. And just thought, bigger field, hopefully get a stronger pace down to a mile and a half. Yeah, she's probably a bit better than most of these, but at 6-1, you could probably back her each way, and you'd be disappointed if she couldn't hit the three. I don't think it's a good race at all.
Thank you, chaps. I'm really looking forward to our next race, the 4 o'clock at Newbury, the Bet 365 Hackwood Stakes, a Group 3 over 6 furlongs. A fascinating field, some really fondly regarded names, Judicial and the Tin Man in there. Give us a show of betting, Frank, and then G-Rod can tell us who wins it.
Yeah, Repartee 130, Judicial 4-1, Shine So Bright 5-1, The Tin Man 11-2, Summer Gand and Tinto 7-1, Tab Deed 8-1, and we're 9-1 bar.
G-Rod, who wins?
Yeah, this is the reason why Sylvester D'Souza is at Newbury, I think. Shine So Bright for King Power Racing, and Sylvester D'Souza on board. This one beat Lawrence last year over 7 furlongs at York, but it's got loads and loads of pace and flew down the hill at Epsom last time, going a bonkers pace. Was unable to keep it up and got caught, lost 2 places in the final furlong behind Safe Voyage over 7. I don't think that Shine So Bright will have any problem at all dropping back to 6 here. I think he's one of the bets of the day for Sylvester. Shine So Bright.
Thank you very much, Graham. Frank, this is a good one, this, isn't it?
I priced this Antipost for us on Monday, Bruce. It's very different to the rest of the market. I might be off here, but I just thought it's full of exposed enough types, with question marks about them. Judicial's been running all right. I wouldn't be certain he'll replicate his form from Newcastle here at Newbury. He was well beaten here last year in a Group 3 as well. And the one I just thought had loads of upside was Repartee for Kevin Ryan. But this horse was really impressive winning his debut as a 2-year-old last year. Disappointed Newbury on easy ground when favoured for a listed race, but ran a cracker in the Gym Crack when beaten 4 lengths by Threat when third, and was just touched off in the big sales race at Donny. I thought his reappearance run of Windsor was impressive enough. I thought he'd step forward plenty. He gets the £5 being a 3-year-old. And just, yeah, I thought there was loads of upside to him. We're way under the market. That's basically because of me. I liked him. I saw there earlier, there was as big as 9-1 with a couple of firms, but 13-2 and 7 out there. That would look big to me, 100. Like, we're 130. We might be a small bit bigger later, but I thought he had the most upside in a race where there's question marks about plenty of them.
Frank, can you just quickly spin me through how it works there then? So you say you price this up on Monday. Do you just get there, get your head down, have a real good look at it, and produce a kind of first draft? What happens then? Do you sense check that past other people, or are other people providing?
No.
How do we get from you sitting down to look at it to Paddy Power putting prices on their side?
It's just me. Like, Antipost, it's only one set of eyes go on them at Antipost. So depending on how many people are in, like, you just split the races up between us. We're a little bit tight for numbers on Monday. So I priced up any of the ricks that people got on Saturday or two to my work. But it's just sitting down, taking opinion, checking what where their entries are. I think the one thing I'd like to think we do well is kind of trying to figure out what will run and what won't run, and try to kind of be a competitive price ones we don't think will run, and get the margin right based on what we think will run. Now, you do get cut out sometimes, plenty of times, but, like, you know, you have to react and trade the markets from there. But like Repartee was one I priced as a runner, and I felt on Monday when I looked at the opposition prices that he was priced as a non-runner. He was also into the 7 furlong listed race at York on Sunday. But now that he's in the race, I'm surprised firms haven't as big as he is. But look, everyone is entitled to their opinion, and we'll see who's right tomorrow.
Excellent. So Frank really fancies Repartee, but you need to go to one of his rival firms because he's obviously very short because he does the odds and he fancies it. DJ, who do you fancy?
What is it with Graham Rodway and Paul Keighley and this love affair which shines so bright? I just don't get it at all. Of course he went off like a scalded cat at Epsom. That's what he does over 7. He ran over 6 in the Diamond Jubilee and he finished last of 10. He was out on his feet. He's just, I don't know. Like, Keels was rabbiting on about shining so bright ahead of the Diamond Jubilee at Ascot. And I just don't get it at all. Obviously, he's Graham's nap of the day. And this is one of these cases where he's probably going to end up winning. But I just don't get Shine So Bright and why Keels and Rodders love him so much. I started this race and the first thing I said was the Tin Man cannot win. And about 45 minutes later, I said the Tin Man is going to win. Because this race is just absolutely tailor-made for him. Like, he's obviously not as good as he was. But like, as good as he was, like this was a proper 117 rated horse who is still rated 115. Didn't get much luck in running at Ascot in that Diamond Jubilee and still was only beaten just over 4 lengths by Hello Usain. He always improves for a run. There's always one or two wins in him every year and he's just better than these. It's just he hasn't regressed enough not to win a race like this. Conditions are ideal. Oisin Murphy keeps the ride. I just think class will prevail here. Bruce. I'd be shocked if Shine So Bright won. I'd be disappointed if the Tin Man didn't win.
And do I finally stop backing Mum's Tipple, DJ?
Oh, yeah. I don't know what's going on there. I think it was that race last year at York. I think it was just maybe something spectacular that we might never see again. I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, he did it, didn't he? I mean, the form's there, isn't it? It might recur. I just don't know. I think he's 14th with Paddy Power. I just think I might have a little bit because
I feel so sorry for the owners that were offered such huge money and didn't take it. And look what's happened. That's the other side of when somebody comes in with a big offer for a horse. Sometimes you should take it.
Is York just a strange track in that some horses just really excel at it, run above themselves, while other horses don't take to it at all? I don't know the reason why, but they're, and to try and even think of examples off the top of my head, but I know that there are some horses just really take to York, and it might just be he was on a really going day on a track that suited him.
But, yeah, possible, I suppose. We better let G-Rod come back in and explain why he loves Shine So Bright so much.
I just think that Shine So Bright is the sort of horse who's just going to throw in the odd stinker every now and again, and he did that at Ascot. I mean, he was absolute last. He was absolute last that was behind Mustachery on his last run last season. But when he's very good, he's very good. And I think he'll be very good tomorrow. In fact, I'm fairly certain he's going to be.
And if he wins that race, if he wins that race, will you send DJ an abusive text message?
Oh, I've never abused DJ.
Okay. What a lie.
Right, let's move on to York. Four crackers there, starting with 155. It is the John Smith's Silver Cup, a Group 3 over a mile and 6. Disappointing field in terms of numbers, just the 5, but a tricky old race to sort out. Frank, give us a show and then tell us who will cross the line in front.
Moonlight Spirit 6-4, Universal Order is 5-2, Communicate 11-4, Ranch Hand 15-2, Eagles by Day 8-1. This is another race I priced. I was under Moonlight Spirit. I think he was a big price elsewhere as well. I had him down as a runner. Communicate was one I was kind of against at the antipost stage. I wasn't sure he'd run, but even when he is running, he has to prove he'll stay in mile 6, and also he has to prove, like, he's just really good at Newmarket. And what I won't say he doesn't run well elsewhere. He just seems to save his best for Newmarket, and I wouldn't be sure that he'd run right up the form here. Universal Order won that race we spoke about earlier where Vivid Diamond was fourth. He showed a good turn of foot to win that day. But I just thought Moonlight Spirit is a bit unexposed still. Like, he was disappointing in the Gold Cup. He did only go off 10-1. But other than that, like, he's won 4 of 7 starts. He was fourth in the Queen's Vals last year. I didn't think it was too bad a renewal. Won a Group 3 at Longchamp, was touched off by Technician Outstate over mile 7 on really testing ground. I thought a mile 6 on decent ground might actually suit him. And yeah, I thought he might be hard to beat actually looking at it. I just think it's a bad race.
Okay, DJ, you started off agreeing with Frank. Are you going to go back to doing that here with Moonlight Spirit?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this communicate, he's just an enigma. He's just so in and out and seems to sulk a lot in his races. Like, he was back on Song last time at Newmarket, but like, I fancied him earlier on the season at Newmarket, like, and he was beaten after furlong. I think he just has going days and not going days, maybe a bit like Graham's beloved Shine So Bright. I just think you can't trust him. And I think with Moonlight Spirit, like, you can certainly forgive his most recent run in the Gold Cup. Like, that was a massive ask. But like, William Buick rode Moonlight Spirit ahead of Cross Counter that day. He had the choice. He rode Moonlight Spirit, who was a shorter price all along than Cross Counter. And that tells you a lot. I think this horse will improve a lot for that run in Ascot. And I think he's far more trustworthy than Communicate.
When you say horse sulks, what do you actually mean? What?
I'll tell you exactly what I mean. And I think it happens a lot in racing. I think sometimes horses like Communicate, that like to get things their own way, they like to get their easy lead. They're a bit, I wouldn't say soft, because no horse trained by Mark Johnson is soft, but things need to go their way. They need to get into a rhythm. And when they don't get into that rhythm early, I think they just throw all the toys out of the pram and say, look, I have enough of this bloody battling game. I just have no interest today. Whereas some days, if he gets into a rhythm, if he's not tackled for the early lead, if he starts gaining confidence as each furlong goes by, then he's going to be hard to pass. But I just think with Communicate, if he's tackled for the lead and if he's just harassed, I think he hates it. And I think while he is gritty and determined at the end of the race when things go his way, it's that middle part of the race that concerns me with Communicate. And I just fear he's going to sulk again.
Okay, I thought I did actually spot one that might be soft of Bravehearts. That Eye of Heaven, who was favourite in the National Stakes yesterday, was really disappointing run. That went out like a light. But anyway, back to the John Smith Silver Cup, the 155 at York and G-Rod. Tell us who you fancy. Will it be 3 votes for Moonlight Spirit?
No, I don't know. I don't know how you could even consider backing us at around 6-4. That was beaten 30 lengths last time out. It's a shocking price for me. And I think that DJ's talking complete nonsense about Communicate. I mean, they also just a Mark Johnson horse, isn't he? I mean, he just runs a bad race every now and again. And that's,
but Graham, you can't say that. That's what they do.
That's what Mark Johnson's horses do. They just, he just runs them and runs and runs them. And every now and again, they throw in a bad run. And he came right back to form last time out, Communicate, behind Dame Malio, but albeit at Newmarket. But he's got plenty of form away from Newmarket. I mean, he's got good form at Ascot, Newbury, in Germany. Got form all over the shop. I know he runs well at Newmarket, but that don't mean he won't run well at York as well. He might well get his own way anyway, yeah? And he's just better than these. Communicate.
Okay, the 2:30, the big race of the day on York's card. Normally absolutely teeming with sun-drenched race goers, so it's going to be eerily quiet at York tomorrow. Let's hope we get racing supporters and fans back soon. It's the John Smith's Cup. It's a Heritage Handicap over 1 mile and 2 furlongs. What an interesting race this is. Frank, what's the latest betting?
Yeah, it looks a cracking renewal. We're 5 places here, Bruce. At the moment, Solid Stones are favourite at 11-2. Fifth position and Caradoc both 6-1. Piv One and Harrow Vienne 17-2. Great Example 9-1. Desert Icon 10-1. Sinjari 12-1. And we're 14-1 bar.
Real head scratcher this ground, Rodway.
Yeah, a very tough race, made quite harder by the fact that the ones that I fancy are all really drawn out in the wide berths. I mean, you've got all some really fancied runners. You've got Rice Hall out in 20, Solid Stone, the favourites, drawn 21, Good Birthdays out in 22. It's not the draw race it used to be. I mean, you used to have to be drawn on the inside to have any sort of chance in this race. But now they come down the middle at York, it is a bit easier coming from the wide draw, but it's still far from ideal. I mean, you'd rather be in the stalls 1-5. Those are the places to be, really. And as a result, I'm still going to back Rise Hall. I think Rise Hall is a really talented horse for Martin Mead. And not a lot's gone right for him this year. He ran at Newmarket over a mile and a half first time up, and he just 2-3 and didn't stay the distance. He can race a bit freely, but he's got good form at York. He finished fourth in a similar sort of hot handicap here last year behind Forrester Dean over the course and distance. He had some smart form before that. He was beaten by Escobar at the track. He won quite a decent race at Newmarket. If he can come back to form, Rice, so I think he's got a chance here. The only worry being that he's out in stall 20.
Frank, who's your selection?
Yeah, I thought this was a cracking race. Thought there was a couple of interesting ones. I had a short list of four. Royce Hall was on it. He is very interesting. Another one, great example. Two, tomorrow's probably not the day for Sinjari. I think he's very interesting and definitely one to put in the notebook and follow. He was good last year. He was touched off by Hedman in that London Gold Cup at Newbury off a mark of 89. Was placed at Goodwood off 96. He's been gelded since. Jockey books would suggest he's second string, but he's definitely one to keep an eye on. But I was very sweet and carried off pricing this up on Monday. I'm surprised he's nearly favourite though, because I thought the more sexy last from out winners, the four-year-old winners, would be the ones heading the market. Cardock was as big as 14s on Monday, into 6-1, best now. I just think he's still very well handicapped off 100. He was really caught my eye last year. He won three handicaps at Newmarket, Windsor and Newbury off marks of 86, 89 and 95. He was very unlucky here. At York over a mile and a half, they held him up. Now he does like to be held up anyway, but he was kind of given exaggerated weighting tactics that day, I assume, to make sure he got the trip. He got the trip no problem, was rattling home, was beaten half a length off America 94, followed up in that competitive Newbury handicap, beating Great Example half a length. They're closely matched there. Things didn't go his way at Lingfield on the all-weather. I put a line through that. I don't think the all-weather suited him. I thought he was a massive eye catcher at Epsom on Derby Day. He was held up at the back. Wasn't the place to be. Sky Defender was just off the leader that day. He had a positional advantage, but Carrock was staying on strongly at the finish. And just as soon as he crossed the line, I was like, God, I definitely want to be with him if he goes to York for that John Smith's Cup. And while his price is probably, there's not much meat left in that at 6-1, I think he'll take plenty of beating. But I'd be keeping a close eye on Sinjari as well. I think if he runs well, keep him in your notebook for Goodwood.
Graham goes for Rice Hall. Frank goes for Caradoc. David Jennings goes for...
I have Sinjari in my notebook for the John Smith Cup. This is one I've been waiting for quite a while. This Sinjari. Like, Frank almost stole my thunder. And then at the last minute, he went against Sinjari and just let me in. I just think this Sinjari is the best handicapped horse in the race. He has been gelded, as Frank said. Like, there's so many lines of form that make this horse so spectacularly well handicapped. First time out last season, even at Redcar, he was beaten half a length in a maiden by Private Secretary, who went on to win a Lister race, was rated 106, and then was sold to Hong Kong. He was beaten a short head by Hedman in that London Gold Cup at Newbury, when only getting £6 from Hedman. Hedman's rated in the mid-110s now. And then he was just kept too wide at Ascot against South Pacific that day, and then backed it up with two good runs. He's just a type of horse that just needed to be gelded. You're obviously guessing with these horses and how a gelding operation will work, but he just always struck me as the type that just needed something just to concentrate his mind a little bit, because he should have beaten Hedman that day at Newbury. He should have went by. And on a couple of other occasions, there was races there to be won where he just didn't do it. But obviously, Stevie Donoghue rides, and you would perhaps prefer to see a big, big jockey on Sinjari, but it's not going to put me off. He's drawn in stall 7, which is fine. William Haggis won the race in 2011 with Green Destiny, and again in 2013 with Dan Chai. He obviously knows what it takes to win the race. I just think this is the type of horse that could go well fresh. I think he's definitely well handicapped, so it is Sinjari for me.
David Jennings there, still trying to work out how a gelding operation works. Let me enlighten you, they chop their bollocks off. Two more races at York, the 305, the John Smith City Wall Stakes. It's a listed race over 5 furlongs. Frank, how do you Paddy Power bet on this one?
Yeah, we've for MBS here, money back if your horse finishes second, third or fourth for a tenner. Equilateral and Camore are 3-1, Elastronaute 4-1, Alpha Delfini 6-1, Major Jump at 7-1, Moskill 8-1, or 12-1 bar.
And David Jennings, who's your selection going to be?
I obviously love Equilateral. I've always loved him, but I think this Camore, I just saw something in him last time that made me think this is going to be a sprinter really going places. He bolted up. The suggestion was that he might perhaps need the run. I think he's very good. Loads of pace. So Qui Amoro for me.
Qui Amoro for David Jennings. Who for Frank?
Yeah, obviously I was you know, waxing on about Equilateral a couple of years ago. I've given up on him. He obviously ran well in the King's Stand and probably found six furlongs too far in the July Cup last week. I just thought at the prices it was worth taking a chance on Alpha Delfini, considering he did win the Nunthorpe a couple of years back, beating Mavs Cross. And he ran well in his one and only start last year when second behind Batash, beating 2.5 lengths. He obviously goes well at York. He is a 9-year-old now, but like, yeah, he's run well fresh, likes the track. He's a decent price considering the form he brings to the table. Like, that's Nunthorpe form is the strongest form there, albeit we are going back 2 years, but it is only 3 runs ago. If his ability remains, he's a very fair price.
Bruce, can I just apologise? I've actually given Ki Amoro a bollocks. She's actually a filly.
Yeah. Okay. Don't you worry about that. Graham, who do you fancy?
I fancy Equilateral.
Jesus.
I think that the draw could be a problem for Ki Amoro. I mean, still 9 right on the wing there. I'm not sure that's ideal for Ki Amoro. I think she might struggle from there. You usually want to be more sort of towards the middle to far side. Equilateral's in 7, albeit, but it is more towards the middle of the course. And he brings Group 1 form to the table, you know, second in the King's Stand. Yeah, forget his last run last week. It was over 6. I don't think he wants 6. 5 furlongs is his trip. Quick 5 furlongs, ideal. Equilateral win.
And finally, at York, the 3:40, the William Hill Extra Places Everyday Handicap over 1.5 miles. Frank, give us Paddy Power's latest betting and then tell us who you fancy.
And Muffray is 4-1. We're actually 4 places here as well, sorry. And Muffray 4-1, Mayfair Spirit and Make My Day 11-2, Prejudice and Arctic Fox 13-2, Where's Jeff 8-1, and Electra 17-2 and 10-1 Bar. To be honest, I wouldn't be mad keen on anything. Maybe Prejudice if I was made have a bet. Jamie Spencer's booked up. I think he needed the run of Kempton over 1.5 miles. He had some decent form last year behind Setting Sail at Newmarket, and he wasn't beaten far at Newbury either. I think he's on a fair mark of 84, but I think, I wouldn't be mad keen in this race. He'd be my token selection.
David Jennings, are you confident about this one?
I am, yeah. Frank kind of mentioned him there again, Prejudice. This is one of these Jamie Spencer specials, I think, on the horizon. Obviously, he's been out injured, and I think this is the perfect horse for him to make a big comeback on. He's a type of horse that could actually win on the bridle. He's a strong traveller, and if anybody wants to back him, I put in a lay just in case at a really short price, because I think he'd still be on the bridle a furlong out. I think that's possibly the only way he can win is on the bridle, but I actually think he's that well handicapped that he could win quite easily. So, Prejudice for me.
Graham Rodway.
I'll be taking a chance on Borodin. He's quite a big price for Sam England. He has one piece of form last year at Ripon when he beat Gulf of Poets by a neck off a mark of 90 that says he can win this race. He's running off £7 lower. He hasn't shown any form since, but he's coming in off a wind surgery and a long break. If he bounces back to form, Borodin, he's really well handicapped.
Okay, left field stuff from G-Rod there, the 25-1 outsider of the party. That's Borodin with form figures of 7.9, 7.9, 7. Right then, before we get the Saturday naps, Frank's got another couple of horses he'd like to mention. And who are they, Frank?
In the 12.45 York, 5 for a handicap, I thought Clary Blue was interesting. He is course form. He was second to maiden here. Bit disappointing last time out with the blinker squad. I think that could revitalise him in mark of 84 is fair. Also, York, the 4.10, the 6 for a handicap. Glenmoy Lad, very well handicapped in his best form. Showed a bit earlier this year in the all-weather. Dropped to 84. Pieces go on here after a quick run of Bath. Joe Fanning booked. We keep an eye on the market for him. I think he's interesting. And over at the Curragh, the 6:45, the Group 2 Railway Stakes. Lucky Vega was impressive despite being green on debut. The forms worked out really well. The second Libs answer was fourth in the North with the 4 Decent Voice, won a maiden, as did the 9th Law of Indices, and the 5th Battleground won the Chesham. I think that'll take all the beating in the Railway Stakes.
Thank you, chaps. Let's get these Saturday naps.
This will not be beaten.
Graham Rodway.
In the 1:05 at Newbury, Sylvester D'Souza on long lay. This is reportedly one of Richard Hannon's best 2-year-olds. Made a very promising debut first time out when beaten 4 lengths behind 7th Kingdom, who come out and ran well at Newmarket last time. And Richard Hannon always runs his best types at Newbury. I think long lay will be different class. That's the 1:05 Newbury.
Thank you, David Jennings.
The 6:15 at the Curra, Bruce, the Scurry, sponsored by the magnificent Paddy Power. I really like Laugh a Minute for Aidan McGuinness and Ronan Whelan. Trade 102, used to be trained by Roger Varian. I just think it's a group sprinter running the handicap. He was very good at Limerick, and he's my banker of the day. That is Laugh a Minute, 6:15 at the Curragh.
Oh, I'm a few quid at the moment, do you, DJ? That's a very blatant sound check. And Frank?
Oh, Jesus, my nap is in the Scurry Stakes as well, DJ.
Go for it.
Yeah, I'm really keen on this romantic proposal for Eddie Lyon.
That's the only horse I'm afraid of. Yeah, I did the spotlights for this race, and it was Half a Minute will win, but Romantic Proposal will be second.
Yeah, I just thought, like, as in, caught the eye in a few maidens last year. Like, she was third to Georgeville, who's rated 105. She's beaten 5.5 lengths in debut. Second, beaten a length 3/4 by Miss O'Connor, who was rated 108. She was second at Nav and beaten 2.5 lengths by Pacific Ocean, who's rated 82. Fourth at Killarney, beaten 6 lengths by Torren Shaman, who's rated 95. That horse went off 5-2 for Lincoln, although I was disappointed. Got off the mark, dropped to 7 furlongs at Cork, beating the now 8-9 rated Lovey Dovey. Bolted up at handicap debut off a mark of 71, beating a solid yard stick and Cattyman. Did get a bit of a rise for that, went up to 83, so got a £12 rise. I thought she shaped really nicely on her reappearance the last day. To me, it just screamed prep run. She just faded out from the furlong pole. She mightn't have been on the best side of the track either. I just think she's really, really well handicapped, and I'm very keen on her. We're 5 places, 9-1. I'd be absolutely amazed if she's out of the 5.
I smell a dual forecast coming on. Thank you very much, chaps. That was Saturday. Let's do Sunday next.
Paddy Power are now offering free streaming on all UK and Irish horse racing. No bet required. Just log in and watch.
Welcome back. It's the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, Graham Rodway, David Jennings and Paddy Power's Frank Hickey. We're looking ahead to 9 fantastic races on another Super Sunday. ITV4 are at Newbury and York, and we've also got 2 real crackers at the Curragh. Okay, let's spin through the Newbury action, starting with the 2:15. It's the Bet365 handicap, and it is wide open, Frank.
Yeah, Nahara's 11-4, Silent Echo 6-1, Shababi, Well Done Fox, and Highland Dresser 7-1, Watan 8-1, and we're 9-1 back.
DJ, Nahara, the favourite, made a lot of friends with a really good run at Royal Ascot. Was that enough to convince you that he will win this?
That was, Bruce. Yeah, I thought that was a really good run. Probably got to the front a little bit too soon that day. Chief of Chiefs kind of had them close home. But yeah, that was a cracking run. Looks like he's still improving. I think he'd probably win.
Who do you like, G-Rod?
Very difficult race. If I had to have a bet, I'd probably back Shababi.
Okay. And Frank?
Yeah, look, Nahara was, the way he went through the race is impressive at Ascot, but I just have a small question mark about him. He's probably well handicapped, and I'd probably be with Rodgers here. Shababi was interesting. I thought he ran well at Newcastle in the Group 3 on his reappearance. Return to tough turf shouldn't hinder him at all. He won a Haydock last year in his only start. 104 is probably fair enough mark, even though he's not running.
Okay, the 250 is the Weatherby's Super Sprint over 5 furlongs. Always a big field, always a really tricky one to solve. Frank, give us the latest prices.
It's Get It, Happy Romance, Lullaby Moon are all 5-1. Tenacio, 10-1. Rishworthy in 12 to run along with Brazen Bell. Jojo Rabbit, 10-1 as well.
Graham, we've got a strong view here.
I think that Happy Romance is the one to beat on the Queen Mary 5th, but I don't have a strong view.
Okay, Frank, do you?
Yeah, look, we're paying extra places here. I thought Nelson Gay made a bit of each-way appeal. He must have had a bit of a reputation because he went off 6-4 for his debut at Yarmouth. It was really well backed. I think it was about 4-1, 9-2 the night before. On the face of people might have been disappointed initially when he was third, beating 4 lengths. The horse that beat him was the Learjet, who broke the course record that day and subsequently won the Norfolk. Now, Nelson Gay ran that Norfolk, was disappointing, was beaten 11 lengths. But he showed plenty at Newbury the last day, over 6 furlongs, beaten 1/2 length, travelled really well. I think the drop back to 5 in a big field and strong pace would really suit him. And I thought he was a very decent taste each way, probably. It's about the 16-20-1 mark.
Nelson Gay. David Jennings, who do you like?
Yeah, I like 2 in this, Bruce. 1 as from a win point of view, and 1 that we're back in potentially each way. Happy Romance. I don't know if I told you this before, but I actually did Richard Hannon's stable tour.
No, you not mentioned that. No.
But the very first juvenile he mentioned to me was Happy Romance, who I'd say if you stopped the tape a furlong out in the Queen Mary and you were asked to back any horse in the race, you would probably back Happy Romance. But she just made up her ground a little bit quick on the far side and was on the wrong part of the track. I think this test will really suit Happy Romance. I think she's quite good. I think she's the deserving joint favourite, and I think she'd be hard to beat. But just 1 at a bigger price, 12-1 Paddy Power, a little bit bigger elsewhere. Number 80 Rishworthian. Now, this is very interesting. Fancied first time out, strongly fancied second time out, looked to have his own ideas about the game, but they popped the visor on last time at Thirsk and absolutely turned the horse inside out. It won with its head in its chest. Very impressive. Visor's on again. If it works again, Rishworthian is going to be a tough nut to crack. So Summer Romance and Rishworthian are my two.
Happy Romance. Two votes for Happy Romance.
And then, Happy Romance.
That's all right. And then Nelson Gay and Rishworthian are your ones at bigger prices. It's the Bet365 Stevenson Stakes next, over a mile and two. It's off at 3.25. Frank, latest betting and your selection.
A Foxtail 11-4, Prince Ejoy 5-1, Extra Elusive 11-2, Global Giant of Pablo Escobar 6-1, and we're 8-1 bear. Couldn't have a bet in the race, Bruce, to be honest with you. I think Foxtail is probably the most interesting one, but yeah, I couldn't have a bet in this race. I think it's very, very tricky.
Did you have a bet in this, DJ?
Yeah, I like Prince Ejoy. Actually was sent for home quite early after travelling quite strongly in the Wolferton at Royal Ascot. That was a pretty good race. Mountain Angel was in there, Sir Dragonair, Regal Reality. They were the three horses that finished in front of Prince Ejoy. I think this is a nice drop in class, and given the way he travelled through that race, I think he's going to be a big player here, Prince Ejoy.
And Graham Rodway.
I agree with DJ. Prince Ejoy looks open to loads more improvement over a mile and a quarter. That was his first run at this sort of distance, and he's been gelded since it too.
Thank you very much indeed, chaps. The Newbury TV action concludes at 4 o'clock with the Marsh Cup. It's a handicap over 2 miles and half a furlong. Really competitive races these, aren't they, Frank? Who's favourite for this?
Salino's 4-1, Australis 9-2, True Destiny and the Max We Can 6-1, Moon King and Rochester House 9-1, and we're 10-1 bear.
And who do you like?
Very keen on the Max We Can. I thought he caught the eye massively at Ascot. Was probably he was ridden wide the whole way around and stayed on really strongly. Got hampered as well about 2 furlongs out. He's £4 better off with Salino, who's favoured for the race. I thought there was every chance he'd be able to reverse. He was a length and a quarter behind that day. If you go back last year, he was a winner of a Goodwood handicap over 2 miles off American 98. I won at Ascot over 2 miles off American 93. He's just a really strong stayer, and he's going to be staying on, I think, when a few of these have cried enough. Look, the ones I'd probably be afraid of are Salino's Unexposed, and obviously Australis brings the Northumberland Plate / David Jennings Stakes form to the table. But, I think actually can's a cracking chance.
Jolly good, DJ.
I actually have a very tentative vote for the Max We Can as well. I thought this was tricky, but I thought it was value for finishing a good bit closer at Ascot to Max We Can. So a very, very tentative vote. Not as strong as Frank, but if I was pushed, it would be the Max We Can.
G-Rod, are you sweet on anything here?
I thought Colin Winnan had quite a good chance. Charlie Fellows fitting first-time cheek pieces. This one was sixth behind Caravan of Hope and Australis in the plate last time, and I wonder if the headgear might bring him forward a bit. Calm Winning.
Okay, 3 races at York on ITV4 on Sunday, starting with the 155 and Frank Boccaccio. The other week we had 3 winning naps up, didn't we? Boccaccio was yours and his favourite to follow up here.
Yeah, look, Boccaccio made hard work for the Newmark, but he's favourite here at 11-8. Ventura Rebel and Royal Commander are both 5-1. Symbolise 6-1, and we are 10-1 bear.
And DJ, who's your selection?
Just a bit Boccaccio, no value, but unbeaten and, you know, did fight when it looked like it was going to be past the last day. So Boccaccio, but it's probably short enough to be having a bet.
Who for you, Graham?
Symbolise for me. Looks one of the better bets on Sunday. I was third last time behind Malartham in the Jersey at Ascot. That's, I think, was a stronger race than this one. He was behind Golden Horde at Goodwood last year in Group 2 company. He was very impressive when he won first time out at Salisbury. I think he might be a class apart. Symbolise.
And Frank?
Yeah, I'd be with Graham here. Symbolise looks a very fair price considering impressive assaults, because Graham said was only beaten a length in the Windsor Castle, ran grand in the Richmond when beaten 4 1/4 lengths in fifth. And I thought there was plenty to like about his run the Jersey off a long absence, went third. And even on ratings alone, he's rated 105 and Boccaccio's only rated 97. So yeah, he's definitely a fair price at the 6-1 mark.
Okay, Okay, we'll stick with you, Frank, for a show of betting from Paddy Power on the 230 at York, which is the William Hill Extra Places Everyday Handicap, over 5 furlongs.
Yeah, Jabberwockies 11-2, Copper Knight, McCanna, Arecibo are all 7-1, Mighty Spirit 8-1, and we're 10-1 bar.
And Graham, you can go first. Who wins this?
Looks a near impossible sprint. I would probably back Course Specialist Copper Knight, who's very tough.
Who would you back, Frank Hickey?
I thought there was a moment of madness. This is a bit interesting off his mark now. William Buick actually is booked to ride, and it was booked earlier in the week. He's a decent enough record on the horse. He's got a couple of wins out of him and some very good runs. He's down to a mark of 93. Like, if you go back, he's £2 lower than when second in the Portland last year. And the horse that beat him in the Portland that day was Oxted, who obviously won the July Cup last week. So obviously that form looks really strong. He's run well at York before. He was only beaten last August off a mark of 95 by length and a half by Dakota Gold, who was on a winning run at the time. And I think he probably needed the run at Doncaster the last day. And with Buick back on board, I wouldn't be surprised to see him blast out in front to take a bit of catching.
And the DJ, who's your selection?
Oh, I'm a glutton for punishment, Bruce, so I'm going to go for Arecibo. Who... It's like, you know, it should be rated 18. You shouldn't be allowed to watch Arecibo if you're under a certain age. It's horror viewing, and you know what you're going to get. You know Danny Tudhope is going to be absolutely sitting motionless two outs, possibly entering the final furlong. And it's just a case of if the gap's open, if he's close enough, if he wants to go through with it. But someday he will, and you know me, Bruce. I just stick with these type of horses for my sins. So, yeah, Arecibo for me.
Who was grimacing during that? Was that you, G-Will?
No, that was me. He's just a horse.
I know.
I hate him from a punting point of view. From a bookmaker point of view, he's an absolute godsend because they never fail to back him. And every time you look at your field book, he's up the top and you're going, Jesus, that's a chunky liability. But he nearly always comes good for him and finds a way to get beaten.
I know he never gets a smooth passage, but like it was ridiculous at Ascot. Like every single gap that he went for, just a door shut. So I don't know. I just think one of these days he's just gonna gradually sweep through the field and win easily, and hopefully it's Sunday.
Righty ho, the 3/5 at York is the William Hill Summer Filly Stakes. It's a Group 3 over 6 furlongs. Blimey, these races on Sunday do take some unraveling, don't they? Frank, give us Paddy Power's betting and then unravel it.
Jovial 7-2, Miss Celestial 11-2, Breathtaking Lucas 6-1. Then we have Last Empire Elizabeth 12-1, along with Maiden India, and we're 14-1 bar.
Go on then, who wins?
I couldn't tell you, Bruce. Genuinely, I think this is a really tricky race, and again, look. At the price of something like Royal Intervention might be a little bit interesting. She won the race last year. She had a spin at Haydock at the start of June. She's a small but interesting, but yeah, it's a very, very difficult race to have a bet.
DJ, have you got any more confidence?
No, it's not difficult at all. Sir Mark is going to land this with Miss Celestial. His horses are just booming at the minute. Like, if anybody saw the race at Catterick the other day, he won a staying handicap with a horse where Luke Morris was actually pulling him up, I think, fully. Was it Luke Morris or Ryan Tate? I can't remember. Like, pulling him up 2 furlongs out, and he won by about 7 lengths. They're just hitting form right now. Miss Celestia looked like she had turned inside out from winning at Chelmsford. Front-running tactics worked that day. And I think if she does get into a good rhythm on front, I think she's going to be very hard to catch. Miss Celestia.
Who do you like, Graham?
Yeah, I thought this was fairly straightforward. One of the bets of the day. Breathtaking Look. At Newmarket, first time up, this Breathtaking Look really gave Oxted a fright. And those two pulled well clear of the rest. They were 4 lengths clear almost of the remainder. Now, we all know what Oxted's gone on and done since last week. Breathtaking Look only run one since, was well beaten in the Diamond Jubilee at Ascot. But, I mean, that was a Group 1. This is a massive drop in class against fillies this time. Breathtaking Look looks a great bet.
Thank you, Graham. Two crackers at the Curragh, both Group 2, starting at the 3:45. It's the Holden Plant Rentals Sapphire Stakes over 5 furlongs, and an English Raider heads the market, Frank.
Yeah, Al Ali is even money. Make a Challenge 7-4. Southern Hills 10-1. Punita Aurora 14-1 over 16-1 bar.
Isn't it you, DJ, who's a big Al Ali fan?
Yeah, I was a big Al Ali fan last year, but I'm probably an even bigger Make a Challenge fan. I just think with Make a Challenge, He's a sprinter that kind of is going places, and I think this is the right race for him to go for. He's been a little bit inconsistent this season, but he's got loads of pace and trained by a master in Dennis Hogan and Joe Doyle takes right. So just about make a challenge for me.
Who for you, Graham?
Make a challenge.
Do you want to elaborate? You don't have to.
Well, I was a bit disappointed because, I backed the horse against him last time at the Curragh. A horse called Buffer Zone, who I thought was a really good bet in that race. And Make a Challenge just really cruised all over him. And I just couldn't believe how easily Make a Challenge beat Buffer Zone. So maybe Buffer Zone wasn't at his best, but I think it's more that Make a Challenge is coming right back to form. And I was quite impressed with the way he did it that day.
Is it a hat-trick of fancies for Make a Challenge, Frank?
No, I'd be quite keen in that alley here. I think you can make excuses for his poor runs. Like, if you go back to last year, obviously, he went into the Norfolk well-backed because he ran a really good time on debut. Ripon when touched off by Spartan Fighter, followed up in the Robert Papin over in Doyville. When he was beaten in the morning, the ground was heavy. I think that would have been all against him. He was got it done then in the Flying Childers and beating Dream Shot, and he was held up out the back over in the Breeders' Cup around the turn, which definitely wouldn't suit at all. At Newcastle, over 6 furlongs, didn't stay. And I thought he was back to his best at Sandown when beating Liberty Beach. I think she's a really good filly. Like, obviously, third. She was the second best horse at the King's Stand. The only reason she finished third and Equilateral beat her was because she tried to go up a tash. I just think Alali, he's a very good sprinter at 5 furlongs on decent ground. And I think he'd take a bit of beating, even though his price is short.
Thank you, chaps, putting the lid on a mega weekend. It's the 4:15 at the Curragh. It's the Kilboy Estate Stakes. A Group 2 for fillies and mares over 9 furlongs. Frank, what's Paddy Power's latest betting on it?
This is the only race we don't have priced up, actually, Bruce. Okay. So there's no price available at the moment.
No problem. Graham, in that case, do you simple task of telling us who wins?
Yeah, I've absolutely fallen in love with Le Mister. I mean, at the start of the season, I was lucky enough to fill in for Tom Siegel on the Pricewise column, and Le Mister become my first ever winner tipping in the Pricewise column. May well be my last, but I'll never forget her for that. And she's gone on. She won that race really well at Nace, and the third was Even So, who's her stablemate, and they punted Even So like she couldn't possibly lose. And Even So is now obviously strongly fancied for the Irish Oaks, certainly by me anyway. And Le Mister came out after the restart and just travelled all over the field in a listed race at Goran Park last time. Stayed on really strongly. She's got a great attitude, Le Mister, and I love her.
G-Rod loves Le Mister. Who do you
like? I really like this Redenza. Look, I thought she was impressive when she won her maiden last year at Leopardstown. She was really well punted that day in a race that there was a couple in there who had experience and looked good. There was a weld one and an aided one. The forms worked out reasonably okay. I thought she ran well in the Group 3 a few weeks ago, the Darren Hills Dog Filly Stakes, the Group 3 at Leopardstown over a mile, shaping like she's improved a fair bit. Halford's horses are improving for the run as well. And she's just one I wanted to follow. I think the step up a furlong and help. I think she might even be better when she gets up to 10 furlongs. But I don't know what price she'll be, but I imagine Le Mister maybe and One Voice will be towards the head of the market, and she might be third or 14. And I'd probably have a few quid each way in her. She's like 6-7 to 1.
And David Jennings, who are you going to opt for?
Jesus, I hope she is 6 or 7 to 1. I'm a massive fan of Redenza. I thought she looked the best filly at Leopardstown. She travelled lovely into the race. She had a bit of a problem earlier on in the season that Mick Halford has sorted. She's a smashing filly. I'm a massive fan. I hope she is the price Frank is thinking she will. And if she is, she will not go off the colour at that price. I think she'll be punted hard on Sunday.
Thank you, gentlemen. All I will do now before we let you go is trouble you for a nap for Sunday. Graham Rodway.
3:05 at York. Breathtaking look.
Frank Hickey.
3:10 at the Curragh. Frenetic. Just really difficult not to be blown away by her win at the Curragh the last day. And she looks just very good. I think she'll she'll take an awful lot of beating.
Smashing. And thank you very much for that. And DJ, who's your Sunday now?
I love a horse that runs in the 12:45 at York. Now, Brentford Hope is in here for Richard Hughes and Jamie Spencer, who was supposed to be the big white hope for the stable. Obviously, coming back in calmer waters than expected. But there's a horse here that's trained by Owen Burrows, who I think still has the potential to be a star. Only rated 81, but Turmoor Still learning last time at Doncaster. Gorgeous debut at Kempton. Could be a big price as well. I think he has the potential to be a really good horse. And while a rating of 81 suggests he needs to improve a massive amount, I think he's very good. So Termore in the 12:45 at York.
Thank you very much indeed, gentlemen. Great stuff. Thank you for listening. Don't forget, we are back on Monday. Maddie will be reviewing the weekend and looking ahead to next weekend. And we'll be back next Friday to preview another great weekend of racing, the highlight of which is the King George at Ascot. Please bet responsibly. And please rate, review and subscribe wherever you're listening to the podcasts. Have a great weekend.
Paddy Power shops are back open. And with them, the return of a massive racing offer. We're giving best odds guaranteed on singles and multiples. All UK and Irish racing, all shops, all day. Limited time only. Terms and conditions apply. Ask in shops for more details. 18 plus. Begambleaware.org.